Judges chapter 6. Last week we examined the call of Gideon in the beginning of Judges chapter 6, and tonight we're going to continue in the 6th chapter of Judges and see God using Gideon in a mighty way. God instructs Gideon to destroy an altar to Baal and cut down a grove of Ashtaroth. Build an altar to God and then sacrifice upon that altar. Gideon obeys the Lord, and the people are ready to kill him for it. Let's read Judges chapter 6. We're going to read verses 25 through 32 and look at this account tonight. Judges chapter 6, starting at verse 25. And again, if you would please stand and honor the reading of God's word. Judges chapter 6, verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer the burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, but that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out your son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. I've entitled the night's message, Let Him Plead for Himself, taken from verse 31. And the 3 points we're going to see, first of all, we're going to observe the order for Gideon. The order for Gideon that God gave him in verses 25 and 26. And then in verse 27, we'll see the obedience of Gideon. And then in our third point from verses 28 through 32 will be the outcome of Gideon's obedience. We need to realize that our obedience to God influences others. And so let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for the privilege we have to pray. Bless now as we study your word. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The order for Gideon, verses 25 and 26, the order that God gives, the instructions he gives are very clear. You know, God is not trying to hide his will from you, but God wants you to know his will so that you can fulfill his will for your life. As we're seeking God's will, he desires to show it, to reveal it, so that we can fulfill his will. As he promised in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You believe God's going to direct you and lead you? It may not always be in our timing and the way we want, but God's going to direct. Now, look at how clear it is to Gideon. Gideon, here's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to go. I want you to tear down the altar to Baal. I want you to cut down the grove to Ashtaroth. I want you to build an altar to me, and I want you to take the second bullock, and I want you to offer him on that altar to me. Very clear, right? God makes his will for our lives clear to us. And if it's not clear, one thing I have learned, if we don't have that perfect peace that passes all understanding, and it just seems like we're not certain what to do, you have your answer. Don't move until the orders are clear. That actually makes counseling very simple. When people say, I just don't know what I should do, the answer is pretty easy. Don't do anything until God makes it clear what you're supposed to do. Following God brings glory to him. He threw down the altars to the false gods 2 Corinthians 10:5, Paul tells us, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Listen, folks, I understand we don't have idols as they had then. Most Americans don't. But sometimes even Christians have thoughts crossing their mind that should not be. And it says we need to bring every thought into captivity. Bring every thought to the throne room of Christ. Every thought you have, what if Christ saw or heard that? Well, he does. But God's will often requires getting rid of a way to go back. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, he cuts down the groves, but not only does he cut down the groves, but he takes that wood from the groves and uses that as the wood under the altar to burn the offering. The bullock was sacrificed. He calls it the second bullock. Go back to verse 25. It says, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old. It appears those are two different bullocks here that are being used, but the second one is the one to sacrifice. Now, I read through several commentators, and they don't know what this is all about, but there's several opinions. One is that perhaps this bullock was the fatted bullock that was supposed to be used for sacrifice for Baal, which makes sense when we read the later passage. The other is that this might have been the only bullock that was qualified to be a good sacrifice to Jehovah God, because remember, Jehovah had requirements of the animal that was to be sacrificed to him. But in either case, the bullock's dead. You don't work dead animals. They're not good anymore. Kind of reminds me of the call of Elijah. Hold your place here in Judges. Flip with me real quick to 1 Kings chapter 19. Well, you know what? For time's sake, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it for you. 1 Kings 19:21. And he returned back from him. This is Elisha returning back from Elijah. And took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave to the people, and they did eat. And he rose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. When Elisha was called by God through Elijah. Okay, try to get the two guys straight here. Elijah took the yoke of oxen, the two oxen that he was working the fields with, sacrificed those animals. Well, he boiled the animals, he made a meal out of them, and used the plows, the instruments that he was using to till the fields, as wood for the fire. I heard a message from this passage once entitled, "Time to Kill the Cows and Burn the Plows." But think about it. Elisha didn't leave a way to go back, did he? So with Gideon, there was no way of turning back once he cut down the groves and overthrew that altar. There's no going back. He burnt the wood. Listen, many times in God's will, folks, he has it so we can't look back. But let me tell you something. Once you follow God, you don't want to look back. Just keep following him. So here Gideon is, out there cutting down these trees and burning the trees under the altar. Well, remember the words of Jesus in Luke 9:62. Jesus said unto him, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." When I was a boy, we used to do some plowing. Now, we had a Alice Chalmers C tractor, 1946 or 47. It's a tricycle-type tractor. And we had a plow. Our tractor did not have a three-point hitch on it. Okay, it was a 40s model. So the plow was not a three-point hitch plow that you just hit the lever and drops the plow and you just pull it along. The plow was an old horse-drawn plow that we converted, and we made a harness for it so we could hook it onto the tractor. So Dad gets to ride the tractor, I get to walk the plow. Now, if you've never walked behind a plow, it's a good thing to learn. Both the one on the tractor and the one on the plow have to be looking forward. You look back, and next thing you know, your row's all over the place. You can't be watching back behind you. You have to keep your eye on where you're going. Otherwise, you're going to have some of the weirdest rows you've ever seen. Don't ask me how I know this. You don't look back, being the point. But keep our eyes on the prize. Philippians 3:14, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the calling of God, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The writer of Hebrews put it this way. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What is our focus? Our focus needs to be on the eternal. Our focus needs to be on Christ. So that's the order given for Gideon, but let's now look at verse 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and when did he do this? Well, go back to verse 25, and it came to pass the same night. Gideon obeyed immediately, because delayed obedience is disobedience. When God says do it, we do it. Gideon's obedience was complete. He did all that the Lord had said unto him. It says, then took Gideon 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. We can't shortcut the will of God. I heard many times when I was in college that a call to preach means there's a call to prepare. And I was one of these guys, and I know all young people struggle with this, you know. Well, what if I never make it to the ministry? What if I never get to preach? You know what I'm talking about? When you're in school, you know, it's like before you were married, okay, Lord, even so, come quickly after I get married and have children. You know, did anybody else think that way? Okay, so I'm the only nut, but whatever. Okay, so a lot of guys in college seem to have this same attitude as I did, is what if we never make, what if the rapture happens before we ever get into ministry, you know? So you start looking and thinking, well, I started out going for a 4-year degree. I ended up with a 3-year degree, but many times I was tempted to leave with their 1-year Bible program and say, hey, I had enough. You know, I'm trying to shortcut. Now, I believe it's God's will for me to stop with their 3-year program, because I would still be there trying to finish second year Greek, okay? So, but his obedience encouraged others to do right. What does verse 27 tell us? Gideon took 10 men of his servants. He took 10 men to go do this with him, encouraging others to do right. You understand, when we are obeying God, it influences others, encourages others to do right as well. Now, Gideon showed courage. He tore down the altar to Baal. He cut down the grove to Asheroth. He built an altar to Jehovah God, and he sacrificed that bullock on that altar. That took courage. But notice something verse 27 does tell us. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's house and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. So Gideon still has fear of men, doesn't he? He does what God commanded him to, but he does it under the darkness of night because he's scared of what the people are going to do, as if they're not going to find out the next morning. But anyhow, sometimes we don't make sense with what we fear, does it? The things we fear do not make sense. If God has told us to do it, he's going to empower us. He's going to protect us. He's going to give us everything we need to accomplish his will. We don't have to fear men. You see, this, he not only feared his family, but he feared the community, because while this grove and this altar was on his father's land, it was used by the public. But let's still not let the fear of public opinion stop us from doing what's right. So we've seen the order for Gideon, the obedience of Gideon. Now let's look at the outcome of Gideon's obedience. First of all, let's see the response of the men of the city. In verse 28, when the men of the city rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one another, who hath done this? And when they inquired, they asked and said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. They wake up and they're angry. They're angered by the fact that the grove and the altar are gone. You ever consider why? Because this is where they fulfilled their fleshly desires. Remember when we started the book of Judges, we talked about the worship of Baal and the worship of Ashtaroth. So you remember what was happening in these groves and what's happening at these altars. And they're not upset that their deity has been challenged or upset because they can't fulfill their fleshly desires here any longer. So they sought the perpetrator. Verse 29, they said one another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Now they figured this out pretty quickly. Now the Bible doesn't say why they figured this out pretty quickly, but I think it's safe to presume that they figured this out pretty quickly because as they were worshiping at this grove and as they're worshiping at this altar, who was always missing? Gideon. It quickly turned to Gideon, and I believe perhaps because he did not participate in the Baal worship. And Christian, this reminds you and I, we need to have a consistent testimony of constantly serving God in all we do. Not bowing the knee to Baal, but letting others know where you stand. So verse 30, when the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. They wanted to kill him. More concerned with their fleshly desires than the life of this man. Adam Clark said, they all felt an interest in the continuance of rites in which they had often many sensual gratifications. Baal and Ashtaroth would have more worshipers than the true God because their rites were more adapted to the fallen nature of man. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Can I say the mega churches of today and the Joel Osteens of today have many followers because it appeals to fallen man? The message of this book does not appeal to fallen man. You say, well, they're preaching the word. Listen to half of what those preachers are saying. It is not the Bible. Another commentator says, idolatry so debases men and renders them so foolish that they will worship and sometimes try to help gods that have no power to help themselves. Which is what they're doing. Saying, bring him out here. He needs to die because he tore down the altar to Baal and he cut down the grove to Ashtaroth. He needs to die. But verse 31, something happened to Joash. Because understand, this man, it was on his property. This altar, this grove, was on his property. So would that make it safe to assume that he was a Baal worshiper? I believe it would. But look at what he does. Verse 31, and Joash said to all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? What questions? And he asked these, like, are you earnestly going to plead for Baal? Why are you going to do so? Why are you going to try to save him? If he's a god, let him do it himself. Fair? And then he threatens any that will harm his son. In verse 31, he says, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. In other words, if any of you are going to plead for Baal and try to go after my son, we're going to kill you. Now, I don't know what changed in Joash. I don't know if Gideon came home and said, Dad, God has talked to me and God is going to deliver us from the Midianites. And I don't know if maybe hearing how God is going to deliver changed Joash's mind. Or maybe it's because of what Gideon did. Maybe the fact that his son had enough character to cast down that altar and to cut down that grove and build an altar to Jehovah God, maybe that was what convinced him that, hey, this is truth. Or perhaps it's just the fact that he just is a father and doesn't want to see his son killed. I am not sure of the motivation of Joash, but I will tell you something. Something changed in Joash from wanting to be promoting Baal worship to saying, well, if Baal's really a god, let him defend himself. And let me tell you, again, we can't say with 100% certainty, but something changed in Joash, but whatever it was influence from Gideon and his obedience to God. That I can say with certainty. Somehow this son and his obedience to God influenced his father. Therefore, in that day, he called him Jerubbaal. It's two B's in Baal, okay? Saying, let Baal plead against himself. And that name means let Baal plead. Why? Because the false gods have no power. I think Joash learned, as Elijah had done for years later, Baal has no power because he's not a real god. Now, if you will, turn with me to 1 Kings 18, and we're going to close here. 1 Kings 18. And I want us to see this great challenge from Elijah to the prophets of Baal. And I know this is a familiar account. 1 Kings 18, starting at verse 21. Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah to the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye upon the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one of the bullocks for yourself and dress it first, for ye are many, and call upon the name of your gods, but put no fire under." And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey or peradventure. He sleepeth and must be awakened." And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out of them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any answer, nor any that regard. And Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me." And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the 12 tribes of the son of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 barrels of water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." And he said, "Do it a second time," and they did the second time. And he said, "Do it a third time," and they did it a third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And Elijah said to them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishron and slew them there. What a wonderful story, a wonderful account of the prophet Elijah challenging the same false gods that Joash realized was a false god. And he says, "Okay, here's our challenge." And they have the two bullocks, and he has them sitting there making fools of themselves all day long, and he's just mocking them, having fun over on his side. "Hey, maybe he's sleeping. Call him a little bit louder. Wake him up." I think all prophets of God have a sarcasm to them. And after enough of this, he says, "That's enough." He builds the altar of God in just a few simple words in his prayer, and the fire comes down and consumes not just the offering, but the altar itself. And the dust and everything just leaves a smoking hole in the ground, because that's the God I serve. One man's obedience made a huge difference, both in Gideon. He influenced those others, encouraged those 10 men to do right. it obviously influenced his father too. Elijah, the people fall down. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah goes and lops off 450 heads that day, taking care of those false prophets. Of course, we know Ahab and Jezebel weren't too happy about the whole scene, but that's another story. Folks, our obedience to God influences others. Let's realize every one of us has an influence. Every one of us can be a wonderful testimony for the glory of God if we will simply follow and obey what He has for us to do. Just as Gideon was told, Gideon, go tear down that altar. Go cut down that grove. Build an altar to me and sacrifice their bullock on my altar. And he did it. So when you and I follow the commands of God, it will influence others because that changed the mind of his daddy. You want to reach your family? Follow God. And when they see the change in your life and they see God working in your life, it's going to bring them to him. Ed has seen this recently, and I'm praying Stephanie's going to see this real soon. I want to be able to cross David off the prayer list, don't you? No, I'm not going to cross him off the prayer list. I want to move him to a different category of spiritual growth. That's what I want to move him. Oh, it's going to be in all caps. I'm telling you right now. But let's be obedient to God because you realize our obedience influences David. And our obedience to Christ can be what God uses to bring David Williams to himself. Our obedience to Christ can be what God uses to bring this young man, Andre, to Christ. And I promise you, if he walks in here, as he promised Sunday morning, you all will know who he is, because I'm going to make sure you do. So you can be praying for him the whole service. But let's be praying for him between now and Sunday. My obedience to God influences others. Let the false gods plead for themselves. But I'm going to serve Jehovah God. Let's bow forward in prayer.